This is N2OEM, your host for tonight, Technical Net. Our friend Gordon, W2TTT, has husbandly obligations. So, if anybody has any emergency or priority traffic, please come now. Nothing hurt. This net is run by Bergen Amateur Radio Association every Thursday night with the kind permission of the Bergen County FM Association. We're having their yearly meeting Sunday the 25th at the Ridgewood Red Cross. All are encouraged to support the repeaters by attending the meeting and paying the small dues. This net is also open to all radio amateurs, not just members of the Bergen County FM Association. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Not only, it's all members, not just limited to VERA members. We also have a net Tuesday night on 440 on the 443.1 repeater. On Wednesday night on this repeater. Both repeaters use a 141.3 CL. So, without further ado, let's get the net started. We'll run this net as K2BAR. Any station whose call starts with the letter N, please call K2BAR. Give your call and your name. And also whether you have a question or you're just checking in. Okay. Anybody whose call begins with W, please call K2BAR.
W-E-2-R, Charlie, no question.
Charlie, did you say W-E-2-R?
Yeah, that's correct, Noel. Whiskey Echo 2 Romeo.
Okay, I think somebody may have doubled with you. The other station, please come out.
This is W-2-J-E-K, Don, no question.
Thank you, Don. Any more W's?
W1GI, Mitch, no question.
Thank you, Mitch. Any more W's? Okay, we'll go for the A's. Anybody whose call begins with the A? Okay, anybody whose call starts with KA? Anybody whose call starts with KB? Okay, anybody at all, please call K2BAR and give your call and your name and whether you have a question.
KC2SAV, this is Al. We do have a question.
This is Sam Apple Victor, SAV.
Charlie 2, Sierra Alpha Victor. This is Al, and I do have a question.
Thank you, Al. Anybody else?
KC 2, ORS.
Okay, Rob, do you have a question?
Not at this time.
Life is full of questions. Anybody else?
This is K2ZO.
Jim, do you have a question?
No question, just some comments on a little project I'm doing here. May help some other folks, so we can pick that up later.
Oh, good. Next, anybody else before we start the with Charlie?
WI2W, late check-in.
It's not late yet. We're still calling.
Okay, this is Steve, WITW, and just a couple of comments as a follow-on to last week.
Okay, Steve. Anybody else?
KC2SKL.
Is that Sierra Julio Lima.
Sierra Kilo Lima, and it's Kelly. No questions.
Thank you, Kelly. Anybody else?
KC2AWX.
Harvey, do you have any questions?
No questions, just listening and supporting the net.
Okay. Anybody else?
And S2K, Jim, no question.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else? Okay, I think we should start with the questions first. Al, KC2SAV, go ahead.
Well, my question is, I have radio TMV71A at Kenwood, and I had it installed, and I got the frequencies in there, and the tone. The problem that I'm having is the tone frequency doesn't lock in there. The 141.3, I can get it, I can tune it in there, but I can't lock it in there. And I wanted to know if there's anyone out there that has that type of radio and know how to do it.
K2KCL repeater.
Not I. Does anybody have that type of radio? TMV71A. Is that a Kenwood?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a Kenwood 2-meter.
Is anybody help out?
I guess no one has that radio.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
This is NSTK. Well, I don't have that radio, but general principle is, you know, it sounds like maybe you have the frequencies set into a memory from your VFO position, and then you save them. And then you went through and tried to set the the subaudible tone. And of course, every time you recall the memory, the tone gets wiped out. One of the tricks, or the general principle, is you might be able to recall the memory, set the tone, confirm that it works, and then just save back to the very same memory position on the radio.
Thank you, Jim. By the way, you're a little bit noisy. If you could step up the power, that would be great.
Go to the other position. Thanks.
By the way, I'm getting low power. I'm at 5 watts. Am I being heard clearly, Jim?
You had a double go.
Jim, I said I'm in low power. Am I being heard clearly?
Oh, yeah, you're fine, you're fine. There was just a double with you at that point.
My rig takes up a little bit too much when I continuously talk at 45 watts. I have a question for the group, since there's only Al's question. My question is, since 1984, when I got my 7950, I've been running a cigarette lighter plug in the car. We're talking, 23 years? No problems. And during the last week, however, if I pontificate a little too much, my 9.5 amp radio, which draws 9.5, supposedly at full power, blows the 15 amp fuse. I've gone through 6 in the last several days. Only when I talk excessively, like 2 minutes at a time, and the radio's warm. Does anybody have any ideas?
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Doc.
I was going to say, do you have clean contacts on the fuse holder as a possibility? If it's not contacting properly, it might have a resistance connection that builds up heat. One other thing I just saw in my QRP quarterly came the other day, and that has an article about defective fuses. Apparently there are fuses out there that are not the standard of excellence that we are used to, and they are cheap, and they maybe are factory rejects even that are put on the market as good fuses, and maybe that some of that stuff we buy at the flea markets isn't all that great. So that, that in that case, they were fuses that were not blowing when they should blow, which is another problem with fuses. That's what thought, either that or there's a something elsewhere wrong. Something else causing you to draw a lot more current than you expected 9 amps. Back to you, W2JK.
Don, I bought some fuses. I had a gift card to AutoZone, and they're national brand with the little tester, the whole bit. And I went through several of the 15 amp ones. I went to Radio Shack and paid a huge $1.99 for a 3-pack and tried them. Still no problem, and I won't overfuse. I will not put a 20 amp fuse in. I think it may be doing something with the fact that my car battery seems to be losing voltage when I turn off the key. In fact, if I turn off the key, I can't transmit in high power. I can only transmit in low power. The radio actually like folds back as if my SWR is off, but that's not it. There's just not enough power there. So I'm wondering if I'm still putting out lower and lower voltage while I'm driving, and whether the low voltage is causing the transceiver to draw more current. Anybody have any ideas on that?
Yeah, this is WITW.
Go ahead, Steve.
Noel, you might want to get some cleaner and clean the contacts on your cigarette lighter plug. Both the hot side and the ground side. I have this stuff called Deoxit and ProGold, which I got at Radio Shack some time ago, and just a little bit on the end of a Q-tip. I first use the Deoxit, and that cleans it, and then the ProGold puts an oily film on it, which keeps it from tarnishing going forward. And I've had really good luck with that, with the dirty contacts. So I would try that both on the cigarette plug and also on the fuse.
That's an idea. I was just thinking perhaps my battery was dying. After all, it's a 2004 car, and it's got 67,000 miles. Is that or the charging system? Who knows? Okay, do we have any more comments? I think Jim K2ZO has some comments on the project that he's running.
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. Go ahead.
K2ZO, go ahead. This is K2BAR.
Okay, just a couple of comments about your problem there. First of all, when you speed your engine up, put a digital voltmeter across your battery, see if the voltage rises. That'll tell you if you've got a charging problem. And believe it or not, I had a similar problem like that with the radio. It turned out to be a bad contacts on the battery. They were just corroded. I assume that you've checked this thing on a power supply. And it works okay. So it may just be the plug. Why don't you just take the two clips and hook right to the battery and see what happens there?
Well, I was thinking of biting a bullet and just running the pair of 10-gauge wires directly from the battery. I haven't touched the battery. It looks okay. But, of course, I haven't taken it apart. I replaced the cigarette lighter plug with a new, nice quality one. The same plug and same radio works fine inside. And now that you got me going, since I have 3 sets of those plugs, I might take the one off of this radio and swap it for the one in the car and see if that makes a difference. But I just think I'm getting to the end of my battery life. While we're on that topic, there is a neat gadget that Santa Claus bought Gordon for Christmas. I don't know if he discussed it. It's 20 amps. It's made by the same people, I think, that sell the power poles. And what it does is any battery voltage from 15 down to about 10 comes out as a constant 13.8. You lose maybe 10% efficiency in the device, but it's a DC-to-DC inverter. And it's great for emergency gear that doesn't like low voltage. Has anybody heard of that? And did Gordon tell you about that previously?
This sounds like the gadget that N3CRT is building a kit knife.
Not sure. This one sells for $79, I believe.
Well, what this thing does is that it keeps your battery voltage at 13.8, so even if your voltage dives to 10 volts, you still get 13.8 out of it.
I believe Gordon got one for Christmas that was already made for $80 plus shipping.
Oh, okay. Well, certainly a good thing to have if you're going to go out camping and have to live off a battery. The other comment I wanted to make is on my little repair job on a power supply here.
N3CRT.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Charlie.
My kit was $100, and the one Gordon got was like $170. It was a more adjustable, I think, and it had a couple of different features. But I'm mobile, but if you want to come to kit night next week, pending the weather, whatever, I'll be there and working on it a little bit.
K2GCL repeater.
Does it put out 20 amps or more?
There's the kit that I'm building. I think it's 15 or 20, and I think the pre-made ones that you can buy from the guy are able to put out more. And there are RF sensing, and then when you transmit, it'll bring the voltage up to make your transmitter happy.
I believe that's a little more sophisticated than the one that's... what happened is I got some power poles and I saw their website and I was talking to Gordon about it and sent him over the page, and he was intending for Santa Claus to bring him one because he does a lot of Boy Scouts. It doesn't strictly puts out a straight 13.8, maximum 20 amps. But for, you know, if you're carrying four batteries like you did last summer, I have these 33 amp hour gel cells, and, you know, the voltage starts dropping down to 12 volts, well, some receivers and transceivers are just not happy. Over to Jim, K2ZO, this is K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, K2ZO. I just finished up a little project here. I've got an Astron 20-amp supply, and I've got another 25-amp supply. And both of these are having problems with the switches. And this is a little rocker switch that snaps into a hole in the front, and I can't find a replacement exactly like it. But I did find one at Radio Shack that mounts with a single nut, and the only thing I had to do was slightly enlarge the hole.
Is it a rocker switch? Because I got the exact same problem with my wife's air pump that she uses for her car. It died, and I was going to go to Home Depot and just buy a regular house switch, but a nice little rocker switch that mounts at a single hole would be a very neat solution.
Yeah, I thought it was, and I bought one. Now, what I had to do is there's a slot, you know, where the old switch snapped in. And what I had to do was to slightly open it up just in the center, too, because it was a circular plastic portion that protrudes through. But the lip of the switch covered completely the hole for where the other one was. And this has a much better feel for it. And then I made another change. I put a separate indicator lamp for indicating the power, because the old one worked off the AC, and that is not what I want. I want to see the DC power, so I bought a 12-volt pilot light.
Sounds great. I think I'll hike over to Radio Shack. The only thing I bought there recently was a hardware firewall I believe the brand name is Alpha something or other. Anyways, just go to Radio Shack's website, type in hardware firewall, and up it pops. Regular price was $100. They're still selling at other places at $100. Evidently, Radio Shack bought a truckload, couldn't sell them. And I've been buying it for some people that I help. Well, one's an accountant, one's a lawyer. You put it on their computer network where the DSL line comes in, or the which one of them has Fios. I have Fios too. The idea is that it's a hardware firewall, and you don't have to depend on innocent people. Innocent in a sense they know very little about computers, doing anything. Don't have to worry about setting up the firewall, don't have to worry about anything. It's a hardware firewall, and it completely makes your computer invisible to the internet. It'll only respond when it sends something out, and it gets a response to what it sends out. Therefore, it, if somebody probes from the outside, your computer's not there. Anybody else have any questions, comments?
Okay, I just want to give you the part number of the switch.
I have a pen.
Okay, yeah. The firewall sounds pretty interesting. I know lots of people who would like a simple solution. The part number is 275-691. 275-691. It's a double pole, double throw. And it'll handle 6 amps at 125 volts each leg. I just paralleled them up, although I don't even need that much. But anyway, works fine, and it looks better than the original, and it's much better quality. Back to you. This is K2ZO.
I have no idea what it, the switch, it's an air pump for my wife. My wife goes out every week. She's up to 38 miles on a bicycle ride. But it turns out that bicycle tires lose 2 pounds a day on the average. And we found, much to our chagrin, that we really have to put air in the tires every time we go out if we want the tire pressure to be adequate so we have least rolling resistance and less chance of a blowout. Anybody else got any questions, comments, whatever? This is K2BAR. I got one for Charlie in 3CRC. Are we working on J-Poles this coming Tuesday?
I was going to bring you mine. I don't have any coax for it, but I do have little clamps where it attaches. And Kelly's got another one that's a little different. It's a dual band. It's like a shorted stub antenna. And we'll be working on that one. I'll be working on my kit. And I do have another comment for the net, maybe a little bit later toward the end.
Okay, Charlie, what I was intending to bring is at one of these ham fests, for $3, I bought a whole box of coax leavings, including cables. I'm the world's worst solderer when it comes to putting ends on coax, so I said, oh, good. And I'm going to bring a selection so that perhaps we can cut the coax at an appropriate point and attach it with, I'll bring a torch, I guess. I don't know. Jim, are we allowed to use a torch in the lab?
Yeah, we have. As long as I guess we watch ourselves, I don't see any real problem. But we definitely have done so, yes.
Well, I can bring one. Anybody else who wants to can bring one. I did go to our friendly local Lowe's and buy half a pound or a pound, whatever, of lead-free solder and the appropriate anti-core flux, since we're soldering copper pipe. Anti-core is the appropriate. We probably need a little bit of sandpaper if anybody has it, or if they have the proper brush. I'm trying to build a 220 J-pole. We're going to work on, whatever our friend Charlie's bringing in. And who's bringing the analyzer, Charlie? Any idea?
Well, I talked to Tony last week, and I don't know if he'll be bringing it, but I'll remind him. There's a good chance that he will. We just want to look at, we just want the one that can handle up to UHF, and check out the 440 side of this one I'm working on, and 3CRT.
Do you want a chassis mount SO 239 so the PL259 could plug into it, or are you going to solder directly to the pipe?
For the dual band one I have is it's actually screws and nuts that bolt onto a little tab, and that works pretty good. They have these little copper plated steel tabs for pipe, and it had holes in them, and I crimped two ends on the coax, and then Kelly was going to go get like RTV and seal up the end of the coax so water wouldn't get back down it, and I think we'll be all set from there. I've got connectors that I can crimp on. We're going to make a little longer piece of coax than what was on the antenna, but we also do want to make it so you can disconnect it and maybe transport it. So that's what we were working on.
I asked because I do have a couple of those connectors. I believe I also might have an SO239 inline that's made to go on a cable, and that might work too. I would suggest against using RTV because the acetic acid it gives off tends to do nasty things to copper pipe. I have something called Goop, which seems to be highly recommended. Has a lacquer or, I don't know, one of the esters base. When you put it on, it's on there for good, pretty much, and it's extremely waterproof. I have the marine Goop. Perhaps I should bring that and we'll forego the RTV sealant, which is basically like silicone caulk.
K2GC.
WHCAI.
Tom, welcome. WHCAI, this is K2BAL.
Oh, you're running the TechNet today, Noel?
Our friend Gordon had wifely duties, or should spousal duties, to attend to, and he begged off.
Well, far be it from me to prevent someone from servicing his wife. Anyway, might I offer a suggestion to you guys? This is something that's available at Home Depot. It's a self-vulcanizing rubber tape. You wrap it around a connector. The different layers eventually merge together and form a real great seal. The difficulty with it is it's subject to deterioration by sunlight. So once you use this stuff, you have to put a plastic coat over it, plastic tape, keep the sunlight from breaking it down. But once you put it on, it turns into a single piece, better than Goop, better than RTV, and, you know, it's downright painful to remove. Any other comments?
WI2W.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, my favorite flavor is something called liquid electrical tape, and it's comes in a little can with a little brush, and you put it on, and it's just what it says it is. It's like liquid electrical tape, and it sets up and dries. I usually leave it overnight, although it sets up pretty quick. And I'll be bringing a J-pole I made at a 450-ohm ladder line to TechNet this week, and Kelly's welcome to have a play. So one way or another, we're going to get Kelly an antenna, that's for sure. So come on down to Kidnight. Back to that.
This coming Tuesday next week?
Yes, sir.
You bring your stuff, I'll bring my stuff. That Goop, that plastic tape you just described, I've seen people put that as an outer layer on top of the self-vulcanizing rubber tape I use to keep the sunlight from breaking it down. So I'll bring some tape along, both kinds, the electrical tape and the self-vulcanizing tape. We can have some fun, tape some people up. Anyway, what else is going to happen at Tech Night this coming Tuesday?
I don't know, Mr. Joyce. Maybe we can get lucky and he can bring his 12,000-volt tube tester. K2ZO and K2VAR. Are you going to bring any projects, Kidnight? Well, one thing I intend to bring, besides a whole bunch of lengths of cable, the ones that have connectors on it, is 100 foot of Radio Shack twin lead. Unfortunately, the only thing I could find is the foam, and I have no idea what the velocity factor is. If somebody knows how to figure out the velocity factor, we could cut off a piece, and it'd be very easy to figure out approximately where we should put the connection and what the length should be.
I'm back, K20. Hey, James. Noel, the articles I've read on the subject of J-poles and 300 ohm twin lead always say is the cheapest plastic twin lead you have, not to use a foam variety.
I know, but it's not available anymore.
Well, if I get a chance to get to my storage locker tomorrow, or Saturday or Sunday, I have a 500-foot roll of the cheap crap.
Oh, I'd be interested in some of that, Tom. This is WI2W.
Well, I'll try to get it out of my storage locker, bring it along on Tuesday night, and, you know, it's just the garbage, the brown garbage, twin lead, no foam, all plastic, and, anyway, so much for that. I shall bring it.
What's nice about that one, with a little piece of 174, you can make a really nice high-gain dual band. Unfortunately, I went looking for it. I tried to buy it several different places. I finally gave up and bought one of the last few rolls the Radio Shack had. They're discontinuing it because nobody uses twin lead anymore. Except hams making J-poles.
That's funny. Hey, James.
Yes, sir.
Me and the kids stopped at your other job, other than amateur radio, that is, and we're asking for you. If you get reports of a strange big guy with two little munchkins along, it was me.
I'm sure I will. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, very good. Maybe I'll show up and straighten out my M14 stuff.
Okay.
This is KWBR. I should ask at this time if there's any late check-ins other than, let's see, I got N3CRT, I got WA2CAI, anybody else?
We aren't enough.
Well, the only other thing I'm bringing for the amusement and edification of Mr. Joyce, I found at the dollar store a flexible LED pen light with about 4 inches of flex on it, like a heavy piece of wire day, basically. It was $1. Comes with 3 batteries installed and 3 extra batteries, those little button types. Includes the super bright white LED and a red laser, so you can have the cat chase it. For $1, I can't imagine, it's just unbelievable. So I picked up 5, so I'll bring a couple of them along so you guys can look at it.
That's interesting. Noel, have you ever seen in any of your cheap stores a gooseneck lamp, VNC connector one side, and a fluorescent, not a fluorescent, a condensant, like a flashlight lamp at the other end? For dashboards of cars, things like that.
Stick it inside of anything, the steel, of course. Stick it to the steel, and bend the head any which way you want.
Say again, Noel, I doubled with you.
Okay, you could use it for when you're doing construction or adjustments. You could stick the magnet part to anything that's steel, and bend the head any which way you want, turn it on. And go ahead and say what you were going to say, Tom.
I was just asking if anyone has found a source of those 1 foot long flex lights, the VNC nail at one end, and a, you know, a regular flashlight bulb, not a non-LED light at the other end, like a reading light.
Not that I know of. By the way, if anybody has an adapter, whatever coax we got is going to have to go to SMA for Kelly, because that's what's on top of her rig. We probably should be using 58 rather than anything heavier, so we don't break the, I mean, her rig is the size of a pack of cigarettes. We don't want to break it. All I have, the smallest I have, is BNC. I got several, of course, SO239, well, I don't know, it's that, BL259. If anybody has an adapter, perhaps they could bring it.
I think I've seen those at Wayne Electronics on Route 23 southbound in Wayne.
Oh, well, what kind of adapter do you need?
Go ahead, station. It's the SMA type where you screw it on. I did have an adapter, but it's, that I'm not keeping for in case of emergencies. I got with an antenna that converts the SMA to a BNC, so you can put a BNC antenna on top. So that's what we were looking for. Let's see. I guess it would be SMA female to BNC male.
K2GCM.
No, you got that backwards. You want an SMA male to a BNC female.
What's on top of the radio? Is that a female or a male?
In case you forgot from school, the male plug has the pin in it. So the pin has to go into the top of the radio. It would be an SMA male to a BNC female. That would be the easiest thing to do.
Yes, as I'm looking at the BNC, that it would be correct. That's what I have, but I have a really cheap, crappy one. I'm using it for my go kit in case I ever get stuck someplace where we have to use that type of radio. I want to have at least one of those adapters. Otherwise, I'd give it to her. But since I only have one, I'm keeping it. I just was hoping somebody might have got an assortment of stuff at one of the flea markets and would be willing to contribute one. Go ahead, Rob.
I believe I got home when Kelly needs to bring it to you tonight.
Okay, so I'm bringing my parts of my antenna, the cable, the solder, the torch, if I can find it, some propane tank, if I can, I'm sure I can find that. And we'll go to Kitkite, assuming we don't get snowed in from Sunday. Anybody else got any questions, comments, observations? And it's okay, we didn't hear from you very well because you were at quite a distance. Perhaps when you're closer now, you'll be a little stronger.
Who, me? Let me get on the other radio here.
Somebody called me, that was a double. No, maybe it was somebody off frequency and not a double. What do you think?
Dual double.
Okay, first Rob go and then Jim.
Oh well, ask Kelly. Kelly the antenna's got the SMA on, he's got an SMA mount on that radio, correct? The antenna's got an SMA. You screw the antenna down like I got on my 10 with the HFX.
We could ask Charlie that question. Charlie, you go.
Yes, the top of the radio has an SMA female. And you screw the antenna down into it. I'm pretty sure I deal with these things every day. Yeah, they're available at Wayne Electronics. I know he stocks SMA stuff because we use it very rarely with some of the stuff we do. I have an SMA male to an N male, but that's a bit of an overkill for coax. So back to you, Robert.
Charlie, just let Kelly know I got everything she needs here at home. I got a couple of parts for her.
now's a good time for me to plug my little website before we go to Jim. I made a site for the TechNet. It's veratechnet.ning, like Ning, November India, November Golf.com, veratechnet.ning.com, and you can go on there and sign up, and we can pass messages to each other, and we can keep a blog, and we can share pictures and videos and audio, and it's a good site. Hopefully it'll grow with members, and we've got, looks like, 7 people on there now. So go ahead and check that out when you get a chance. N3 CRT back to the net.
Thank you, Charlie. That's all one word, baratechnet.ming.com.
No, it's November Indian November Golf. Ning, like Ning, no M, Ning, with an N. Baratechnet, yes, all one word, .ning.com. And if you're sitting at the computer, just let me know that you got it.
Not at the computer. Okay. NS2K, and KWBAR.
NS2K. Yeah, one of the things that I had put up there a few days ago when we weren't able to do tech night, the kit night the other night, is little blurb on an antenna analyzer that I had received a little thing in the in an email. Looked like it might be interesting. Of course, I don't have the information right in front of me because I'm sitting at the wrong computer, but that's okay. If you join the net, the information is all up there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you know, if there's sufficient interest in the darn thing, we might convince somebody to buy one, and maybe even the club. But it looks like an interesting little gadget from like 100 kilohertz up to 180 megs, but it does require a computer to work the thing with. It does not have any display of any sort without a computer. Anyway, NS2K.
Sounds good. Anybody else? Observations, comments, anything?
It's a lot of SMA, so we got to be prepared, whoever can do that stuff, to use SMA. N3CRT.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB, late check-in.
KC2PYB, this is K2BAR. Do you have any questions, comments?
Only one, well, I have a comment, one on the SMA stuff with Kelly. Advanced Electronics has a good assortment, because when I bought my Elenco 17, Handy Talk there, I needed an adapter for the mag mount, and he had one. It's a little, my mag mount has, I guess, the 239 connector on the end of the coax, and so he had one where it just screwed right in, and it was SMA on the other end. It's about a 6-inch little piece of cable that screws into the big coax, and then has the right the right connector to screw into the radio when you remove the rubber duck. And my question is, does anybody know Windows system having a problem tonight?
Okay, I'm not sure. KC2P, is it Peter YB? If you give me your name, I'll write it in the list.
Roger, that's KC2PYB, Richard.
Okay, well, address the group. Does anybody have a... wait a minute, Richard. Perhaps you should elaborate, tell us which Windows system. Is it XP, is it Vista, whatever, and elaborate a little bit on your problem.
This is a Windows Vista, and it used to have a scroll, not a scroll bar, but, you know, the bar used to be across the bottom of the screen like you normally do, and you got that Vista insignia in the lower left-hand corner that you click on, and up comes the, the programs and different things that you can do to open it or get your computer rolling. And for some reason now I have it along the right-hand side of the screen. I'm trying to get it back to the bottom. and I'm going crazy because I can't even find it in the book how to move that bar back.
Click the gray area, not including any buttons. Click it and drag it, and you just move it. You just drag it and release to the bottom. It'll go.
Okay, I'll try that.
Unless the toolbar is locked, you might have to right-click on it and unclick the thing for locking the toolbar. I have missed it, but that's kind of a pretty common thing.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate the information.
Charlie, wouldn't you be able to drag it to any of the four sides, including the top?
Yep.
That's the same in the previous version of the Windows set.
Yeah, I believe so.
Go ahead, Rob.
K2GCL repeater.
Your audio is way down there, but I got what you were saying. I wasn't going to use any SO239. I was just going to go with BNCs. I have BNCs. Not a problem there. And that way, I don't know, it's just what I have. I think it's more of a pain to deal with an SO239 than a BNC and such a small radio there. And 3 CRT back to then.
CRT takes lower.
The radio is so small, I'm always afraid of breaking off the connector. Even when I use my radio with BNCs and I connect it into, I have a RGX foam for my antenna. If I'm using the HT, I go with a short piece of RG58 and convert it down that way so I don't have that much strain. I also use two right angles as an adapter so it doesn't twist the end of my BNC coming out of the top of the radio off. Anybody else have any comments, questions?
Just hold it upside down.
Figured out what the
think that that particular piece of coax came out to 7.1 inches, and that's the way, that's how they did it. So it's a way of getting around a problem if you don't have an antenna analyzer that goes up into the UHF range. Back to net, W2JK.
Sounds great. Couldn't you just do it for 110 megahertz and then double it? Or have it, I should say.
I really don't know. They did it. They proportioned the thing out so that what proportion the 160 versus the 222 would be.
Yeah, mathematically no difference. That'd give you more accuracy. Anybody else? Comments? Questions?
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, just say thank you to whoever had that information. That bar is back where it belongs, and I'm trying to pick my hair up off the floor.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, nothing heard. I think it's time for another commercial for the BCFMA. As you know, it supports two-meter repeaters, the primary and the backup. We are on the backup now. 3 440 repeaters, one in Oakland, one in Hackensack, one in Fort Lee. BCFMA exists on our donation, our membership dues. They have one meeting a year, and their only purpose is to support the repeater, no political agenda, no nothing else. And that meeting's coming up, I believe, on the 25th at 7:30 at the Ridgewood Red Cross. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, my memory must be getting better. And we want to thank the BCFMA for the use of the repeater and turn the repeater back to normal use. This is KTBAR saying 73 to everybody. Have a great night.